Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Dialectic of Enlightenment by Max Horkheimer and Theodore Adorno. Sophie, what was your first honest reaction to this book?
Honestly, it made me uncomfortable. This is a book that says the Enlightenment, the whole project of reason and progress we celebrate, contains the seeds of its own destruction. Written in exile during World War II, it's a devastating critique of Western civilization.
That sounds heavy. We're taught that the Enlightenment freed us from superstition and gave us science, democracy, human rights. How do they argue it becomes a new form of myth?
They say the Enlightenment didn't eliminate myth. It transformed it. Ancient myths tried to control nature by naming and appeasing unknown forces. Modern science does the same thing with math and experiment. The underlying impulse is identical, mastering reality through knowledge.
So we swap one kind of magic for another. Is that what they mean by instrumental reason?
Exactly. Instrumental reason asks only what something is useful for, not what it means. Once you treat nature as raw material, it's a short step to treating other people that way. Everything becomes a resource, including our own minds.
The part that got me was the Odyssey. They read Odysseus as the first modern individual. He tricks the Cyclops by saying his name is Nobody, and in doing so, he becomes Nobody. He sacrifices his humanity to survive.
Right, and he plugs his ears against the sirens. That self-mutilation is the price of self-preservation. The Homeric hero already represses his desires to function in a rationalized world. That's the template for all of us.
So even our greatest stories are warnings. Then they trace this through all of philosophy, from the pre-Socratics to Kant and Nietzsche. Reason gets narrowed down to calculation and prediction.
Exactly. The great philosophical systems that once asked about the meaning of existence get reduced to tools for managing populations. The Enlightenment's critique of religion becomes a new dogma. Only what's measurable is real.
Then they hit us with the culture industry. I thought that was just a fancy term for Hollywood.
It's more than that. The culture industry is the mass entertainment system that trains people to accept their place in society. Every movie follows a formula, every song sounds the same, every ad tells you happiness can be bought.
That's terrifying.
That's exactly their point. The system doesn't have to force us because we've internalized it.
So we're being conditioned to want what the system wants. Even our leisure time is organized and exploited.
Exactly. The entertainment we consume reconciles us to our unfreedom. It makes us grateful for the system that oppresses us. Art, which once offered a glimpse of a better world, is absorbed into commerce.
That's a bleak view of democracy, too. They see mass media as a form of control more effective than dictatorship.
Right. People aren't forced to conform. They're persuaded that conformity is freedom. Choosing between brands of soap becomes a substitute for real political choice. The citizen becomes a consumer, and votes are bought and sold like commodities.
Then they analyze anti-Semitism. I didn't expect that section. They see it as a symptom of Enlightenment's pathologies, not a return to barbarism.
Yes. The Jews become a screen onto which society projects its anxieties about rationality and domination. The anti-Semite hates the Jew for representing rootlessness and intellectuality, everything he fears in himself. It's a product of modern civilization.
So they're not actually saying we should go back to myth or abandon reason.
No, they're carrying on the Enlightenment's own project. They're using critique against itself to save reason from becoming mere calculation. They want a more humane, capacious understanding of rationality.
But they're incredibly pessimistic. They see no way out.
They don't offer a program or a blueprint. They see their task as diagnostic. It's like a doctor describing a disease, even if there's no cure. But the very act of critique keeps alive the possibility that things could be different.
What about the criticism that they overstate their case? That modern society is more complex than total domination?
That's a fair point. The book was written in the aftermath of fascism during the Cold War. The internet and social media have created new forms of culture they couldn't have imagined. but their central insight remains true.
So what's the central insight?
The same rationality that gave us modern medicine and democracy also gave us nuclear weapons and environmental destruction. We can't celebrate the Enlightenment without confronting its failures. We're shaped by forces we don't understand and can't control.
The ending is about a different kind of thinking, a reason that recognizes its own limits, that's capable of wonder as well as calculation.
Yes.
They don't know what that would look like, but they insist it's necessary. We've become masters of the universe without knowing what to do with our mastery. The tools we created to liberate us have become instruments of confinement.
So the book doesn't really tell us how to fix it, does it?
No, but that's not the point. It's asking us to stay awake.
I think the one thing I'm actually taking away is that we have to hold reason and humility together. The Enlightenment gave us tools to master nature, but we need to remember what that mastery is for.
If you want to go deeper, the whole library is on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It's $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. Because the biggest trap is thinking we've escaped the myth when we've just built a bigger one. We'll see you in the next one.